Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are in our week three of our current series called God With Us. And we've been looking at since the beginning of time, God has been there with us. The first week, we looked at how humans, we were made to be with God. And when I say with God, I mean right next to him. You were able to talk to him face to face. You were able to walk next to him. There was no separation between us and God at all. But as we do as people, we became very selfish, and Adam and Eve chose to do what they wanted to do over obeying God. And because of that, sin was introduced into the world. It was into us now. And because of that sin that had come into the world, God said, you know what? This is no longer perfect. When he first made it, everything was perfection. And he said, you know what? We need to change this up. Something has to happen. And so God made it possible for us to leave this earth, and that is through death. Death is not a curse, but a blessing we have so that we can be restored and we can be with him again and have no separation when we leave this place. That separation that we have right now with God will be gone when we leave this earth. And then last week, we looked at what happened with God's people next. As always, people choose to do whatever they desire. And there were a lot of ups and downs, but God kept coming up with ways to be with us. And we looked at Moses, who was a man with many flaws. He had made many mistakes, but he served God as a messenger and as a leader of God's people. When God gave Moses some commands to give to the people, Moses then asked a very bold question of God. He said, "Let me see you, Lord. I want to see you, God, face to face." It is something that many have asked. We say, yes, we want to see God. I want to be in front of him. I want to be in all of his splendor and glory. And as our loving God does, he says, okay to Moses. He says, yes, we will do this. But God tells Moses that for his own good, you're not going to be able to look upon his face. God says, you can't look me directly in my face and live. So God gives Moses what he asks, and God passes by, and Moses gets to see God's back. It's an amazing encounter with God. And again, more proof that God is literally with us, that he has not left us, that we know that he is here. And I would love to say from that point on with Moses, the people of Israel were like, this is it. We're good to go. We're ready to follow. We are ready to do as God asks. And they said, we will never sin again. That did not happen. Like, not even close. That's not how it goes down. What we read from Moses was in the book of Exodus, and that's just the beginning of all of the Bible and all of the mistakes and all of the years that are to come. How quickly the people forget everything that God has done for them. The people start to become restless, and when we forget that God is with us, we start looking for other leaders. So when you keep going through the Old Testament, God's people, they're now saying, we want a king. And God says, guys, I am your king. I am the King of Kings. And the Israelites say, yeah, that's really cool. And we love that you're our king and everything. But we want like a king here. We want a king that's going to lead us here on earth. We want a king that will be our ruler. We want a king that's going to help us right here and right now. And again, for us, it seems so silly as we look back and read it today, because we say, guys, you literally have the Almighty One as your king. He is right there. You are the chosen people, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful one who can do anything and knows all. You're rejecting for some dude instead. And that's exactly what they do. They say, sure, you're great and all, but we want this here and now. And God says, okay, but I'm going to tell you, it's not going to go well. And of course, it doesn't go well. You can read it over and over again. There are a lot of bad leaders, and things go really bad, like a lot. And then we get to a pretty rough time for Israel in the book of 1 Kings. And we get to one of my favorite guys of all time, and we're going to focus on his story. His name is Elijah. And so Elijah is a prophet of God. He is a messenger for the Almighty. Now, most prophets, they bring some pretty bad news. And Elijah, he also is bringing some pretty bad news. But also, Elijah gets to do some pretty cool stuff. And if you have not read what Elijah does, it can be found in 1 Kings 18. So I'm going to do a quick synopsis of this story, and that's because we have to know this story to get to the part that we're focusing on today. But I would urge you, go read this on your own if you've never read it. It's one of my favorites. But what's happening in 1 Kings 18 is there is a ruler in the land that does not follow the one true God. They follow other false gods. And the many Israelite prophets and followers, they're being put to death. God obviously is not happy with this, sends Elijah to go confront those who are against Israel and against God. And Elijah has a standoff with these false priests. And he proposes a challenge. Elijah wants two altars that are set up. There's an altar to their God that they worship, and then an altar that is set up for the one true God of Israel. And he says, you know what? We're each going to call upon our God to burn up this altar, and then we will know which God is real. We will know which one we are to serve. Whichever God goes and destroys this altar, then we will know there is one God, and it'll either be yours or ours. Now, Elijah is the only prophet here of the one true God of Israel. But the false god, who is Baal, he has 450 prophets right there in that moment. So Elijah says, have your prophets call upon their so-called God to burn up the altar that we've set up here. So what happens is the prophets, they call upon Baal from morning until noon, and there is no Baal. He does not show. So the prophets, they start shouting and dancing, and they're trying to get Baal to do something, anything. And Elijah, I really love him because he is so snarky, and it seems like something I would do as well. So what he does is he's like, you know what? I'm going to egg them on. And he says, you need to shout louder. Surely this Baal is a god. And then Elijah says, well, maybe Baal is just really deep in thought. He's really pondering, you know, life, love, and mysteries. And he says, or maybe he's actually sleeping right now. He had a long night, you know, so you better yell a little louder. Maybe that'll wake him up. And this actually spurs on the prophets of Baal. And they start shouting louder. And then they start cutting themselves to get the blood flowing because they believe that blood is going to bring Baal down to them. It's so awesome how Elijah just kind of sat back and was like, that's weird. Baal never showed. That's a crazy thought process. And then Elijah says, okay, now you're going to see what my God can do. So he has the altar built, and he has these stones around it. And he says, you know what? Instead of just wood and stone, we're going to do something. I want you to pour water on it. He says, those four large jars of water, I want you to fill them and pour them over the wood. I don't know about you, but if you've ever tried to light wet wood, it's almost impossible. Just a little damp makes it impossible. And he says, I want you to take those four large jars of water and pour it right over the altar. And he says, you know what? I want you to do it again. And he says, you know what? Do it one more time. So now there are 12 large jars of water that were poured on this wooden altar. And it says that it filled the trench around the altar. There was that much water. It is soaking wet. And then Elijah prays out loud. He says, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you are Lord our God, that you are going to turn their hearts back again. And then in an instant, a fire from the heavens came from God, and it fell and burned up the sacrifice. It burned up the wood. It soaked up all of the water. It says that it was such a hot fire that it burned up the stones. It says it even burned up the soil that the altar was built upon. This was an amazing miracle. God sent fire from heaven to do the impossible. Elijah just called God to burn up the altar in front of everyone, and everyone saw it. At this, all the people then fell to the ground, crying out, "The Lord, He is God. He is the one true God." Then after that, they had all of the Baal's prophets put to death. Now, when you go through this and you're hearing this, you're like, that's an amazing story. Why are we not focusing on that? We're actually going to focus on what happens afterwards. This whole sermon series is about God is with us and that God shows us that He is here, that He is with us. So the story we're going to focus on today is from 1 Kings 19. It's the next chapter, 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 9. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows and a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you today. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. So let's go ahead and read 1 Kings 19, 1 through 9, and then talk about what's happening here. It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.' Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I've had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.' Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night." So Elijah did this amazing thing. He was with God. God was using him. He was telling Elijah what to do. Elijah did the impossible by calling down fire from heaven by God. And everyone witnessed it and saw it. Many fell to the ground glorifying God. And then right here in this next chapter, we see this different side of Elijah. The reason this is one of my favorite stories is because this is so relatable. We have those moments where we feel so close to God. We feel like we're following Him. We may even have some amazing things that God does for us and with us. And it's so obvious. You can point out and say, "God did this. It was awesome. It was amazing." But what happens after that? Life happens. The world happens. People happen. And they drag our focus away. And here we see Elijah's being hunted by Jezebel. He had their false gods, prophets, killed, and she really didn't like that. So now there's a bounty on Elijah's head. And naturally, Elijah's scared. But how quickly has Elijah forgotten what God did through him, what God did for Elijah personally? Elijah has lost focus on God. He's lost focus, realizing that God has a big picture and plan. So Elijah becomes depressed. He runs away. He hides in the wilderness. But he doesn't just sit and mope. Elijah says in verse 4, he says, "God, I am done. I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore. Just take my life away. I am useless. I am weak. I am no better than the other Israelites who walked away from you." And then he lays down under a bush and he falls asleep. Elijah is clearly depressed here. He does not see or feel the hope that God gives us. And then we get a little bit of humor here because an angel shows up and he touches Elijah. And I'm sure it was like a comforting hand on his shoulder or maybe a comforting, you know, touch on the side. But I'm not going to lie. I pray that it was more like a poke with his foot. You know, he's like, hey, buddy, you know, kind of like nudging him. You all right? You doing okay there? And he says, it's okay. I brought you a snack. Got you a little snacky snack. Again, food is the great equalizer. Let's be honest. It really is. When you're feeling down and out and someone brings you a baked good, you're like, oh, this is great. And so he has this baked bread on hot coals and a jar of water from God. And I want to say that had to have been the best bread ever. Like, come on. It was baked by God himself. Okay, that's got to be the best bread ever, and it had to be the most cleanest and refreshing water that anyone has ever had, because it's a gift from God. So Elijah then eats and drinks the gifts that were given to him, and he goes back to bed. He's like, yeah, this is good. Thank you. Great. I'm going to just lay here. Personally, sounds like the perfect day to me. You know, someone bringing you food, hot and ready, something to drink, and you go take a nap. That sounds awesome. But then the angel of the Lord comes back again, and then he says to him, it's time. It's time for you to go to work. You have to eat something, though, for the work and the travel that you need to do, because you're going to travel to the mountain of God. When you're being sent to the mountain of God by an angel, something's going to happen. Okay, this is not for just nothing. They know this mountain. They know this is the place where you can go, and God has been, and they have been there multiple times with God himself. So if you're being told to go to this mountain, something crazy is going to happen. And so he knows it's time to go. Again, this is so relatable. When we are feeling alone, when we are feeling weak, when we feel like we can't go on, there is only one who can bring us to purpose. There's only one that can turn us around, and that is God. You can't sleep it off. I don't care how many times you lay down in your depressed state, sleeping it off is not going to bring you to purpose and bring you true rest. We can go ahead and distract ourselves. We can go on vacation. We can do all the fun things that we want to do, but you will not find your rest in those things. You cannot just sleep the days away. What happens when you do that is you wake up and you're sad still. Maybe you have a little more energy, but you don't have that rest. So what is the difference here that happened with Elijah? What happened was he got real, true rest from God. Only he can provide what we truly need. And Elijah was given what he truly needed. The crying in the wilderness, wishing for his death, that is not what helped him. Too often we think, well, you just got to get it out and you'll be good to go. No, because you're going to have those same feelings. You're going to have those same struggles. The crying in the wilderness and wishing for death will not help you. God is the one who will help you. And that's who helped Elijah. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not the norm that God's going to send an angel to poke us, feed us, and then send us to our job or where we need to go next. That's not something that I have ever experienced. I'm going to tell you now, if this is something that you experience or have experienced, I want to hear all about it. Please see me after church, okay? Because I really want to know what that looked like and what you did, because I'd love for God to just provide a snack. That sounds awesome. But we have to understand, we get to be in his presence. We get fed the word of God. It says, man does not live on bread alone. This is what's going to give you strength. We are to run to God. That's where we're going to find that rest and energy that we crave so badly. And God is there. You have to understand, he's ready. He's willing. He wants to sustain you. He wants to be the one you lean on. I hate it when people say to me, well, I don't want to bother God. You're not bothering God. There's a reason he says, cast all your burdens on him. You know why? Because it's like nothing to him. He can carry it all. But for some reason, we just hold on to it. Lean on God. Go to him and talk to him. So let's go ahead and read what happens next. In 1 Kings 19, verses 10 through 13. Verses 10 through 13. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So here we see God is presenting himself to Elijah. Again, Elijah's not able to look at God. He's not able to see his face. But it says that the word of the Lord comes to Elijah and he asks him a very simple question that is so hard to answer. He asks, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Why did you come to this place? Why are we in this moment? And Elijah gives the answer that he believes to be true. He says, I have been on fire for you, God. I have done amazing things in your name. I have been zealous. Even though I have been doing what you've asked me to do, the Israelites, your people, they are rejecting you. They tear down the altars in your name. And all the prophets have been put to death, and I'm alone. And they want me dead too. I'm going to tell you that this is how Elijah feels. This is not facts. And God knows this. God wants Elijah to say what's on his heart so God can teach him. He's not asking Elijah a question that he doesn't have the answer to. He knows. He wants Elijah to speak it, to say what's on his heart so God can show him something. So if you keep reading through this, we find out later that there are many other followers of the one true God, and there are many other prophets that God has already put into purpose, but Elijah can't see that. In this moment, Elijah feels he's alone. He's the only one, and he's tired, and he feels that all this work that he's doing is for nothing. So Elijah sees the chaos of the people. He sees the chaos of life, and he is feeling defeated. So God says, I want you to go out and stand on the mountain in front of the presence of the Lord, because the Lord is going to pass by. And then what happens? We see a wind. It tears a mountain apart. It says that rocks are shattering and exploding. It sounds scary and awesome all at the same time. That power. But God was not in that wind, it says. Then there was an earthquake. If you have ever experienced an earthquake, it's frightening. Even a small earthquake is frightening. And it's because your whole world, the thing that you are standing on, you have no control over. You're just along for the ride. You're hoping you just make it through. And when it's a really big earthquake, everything is just shaking. And I imagine it wasn't a small earthquake with God. It wasn't like, oh, did you feel that? No, it was more like everything is going nuts and just crazy at that moment. If you think about the wind was strong enough to explode rocks, I imagine that earthquake could have been devastating. But it says God wasn't in the earthquake. And then a fire came. Again, I'm sure this is not your backyard fire. We've had some crazy backyard fires, okay? It was not safe. It was not smart. I'm so glad the guy from the fire department is not here today. But we had like a 10-foot fire, and I was like, we're not going to make it. This is crazy. So it just getting out of hand. Huge fire. And I imagine that is just so small in comparison to the fire that God brought about. Large fires, too, are frightening. They can be super hot. They can be loud. You can hear the roaring of the fire. And they have this insane amount of power of destruction. But it says again, God was not in the fire. And then after the fire, when it was quiet, there was a gentle whisper. And this was the moment Elijah heard it. He put his cloak over his face and he stood out the mouth of the cave that he was at. And Elijah hears God's voice again. This was God showing Elijah that not everything is in the power It's not about raining fire down from heaven every time. If you want to commune with me, if you want to talk with me, if you want to be with me, just sit in the silence and I'll be there. And God speaks to us. We get to have this personal conversation with God, and he says, quiet everything around you and you will hear me. So often we find ourselves crying out to God for answers, crying out for help, and we are so distracted by the noise of our families, the noise of our thoughts and desires, the noise from the world, the noise that surrounds us every single day, that we do not make the time to sit in the quiet and listen for God's gentle whisper. And that is the biggest problem with this time of year. It's finding time to sit in the silence and listen for God. But I have found that when we shut out the noise, when we look away from all the distractions of this world, when we don't worry about the Christmas gifts and we don't worry about all the gatherings and we truly sit down and listen for God, you will hear his voice. You will feel his comfort. We need to focus on him. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. If you find yourself overwhelmed, you find yourself feeling alone, you're feeling lost, find time to sit and talk to God in the silence. No distractions, just you and him. Forget about what you think you have to do. Forget about the stresses that you've had in the day or that is to come. Take 5 minutes, take 10 minutes, take as much time as you need to sit with God, whatever time that you can give to him. Sit in the quiet and listen. I know it's really hard to find those moments, but I'm going to tell you, it will bless you. It'll be the moment that you need. It's the place where you'll find true rest. Because too often we say, you know what, I'm going to find rest in other things. I'm going to find something else to revitalize myself. I'm going to find a different way to make sure that I can keep going. And you just find yourself lacking over and over and over again. Let's do something different. Sit in silence, no distractions, with God. God was there for Elijah when he was at his lowest, when he lost sight of everything that God had done. But then God said, no, I'm here. Listen for me. God has done amazing things in your life too. God has used you. You're here in this moment. You're hearing this message for a reason. Take time, sit in silence with him, and go to him.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.